Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Her name is Alice Enoe, and she is an astrologer, a feng shui expert. She's an award-winning author and a life coach from Hawaii. Alice is a life expert who has transformed countless lives through her unwavering dedication to personal growth and happiness. Alice has written 9 books on self-growth and happiness, and her insights have become a staple for those seeking guidance in navigating life's challenges. Alice, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started in astrology. I have noticed over the past, I'll probably say 5 to 10 years, that astrology has really grown and almost become mainstream. So what led you to get started with astrology?
Oh my gosh, it is like the best question ever, simply because I don't think anyone really grows up unless they're in their environment to say, I want to grow up and be an astrologer. I think it's just something that kind of finds you. And it did. It found me about 23, 24 years ago. I was in a complete different profession. I had television shows in Hawaii and Japan. I was just a spokesperson for multiple companies, big companies, Nike, Polo, Ralph Lauren, all these companies. And I thought that that was my future, that I was just going to be doing all these TV shows and just be this sort of entertainer kind of host person. And interestingly enough, life always has its plans for you. And so a friend had just given me a gift certificate to go see an astrologer. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't really care too much about it. But I noticed that the gift certificate was going to be expiring soon. So I thought, oh, I better just go use it. So he needed my birth time and birth location. So I found that on my birth certificate. And this is we want to go back to about the year 1997. So I went to see this astrologer and he told me all about myself, and I couldn't help it, but my left brain was like, well, you read it about me. I'm in the paper. I'm in these magazines. And so I didn't really really get it, I guess. And then he said, he looked in this and through this timeline, and he says, well, now get this. This is 3 years in the future. He says, well, in the year 2000, April of the year 2000, you will go through a career shift, a complete change in direction. And all I could think of at the time was, well, of course, you know, I would be older then, so I would go behind the camera. I might be writing and producing, and I'd already started that. Well, I wrote it in, I don't know if you remember, Dina, back in the day we had the Palm Pilots, yeah. And so I sort of facetiously went forward 3 years in the little Palm Pilot, and I wrote on August 1st of the year 2000, I wrote, astrologer says Pluto will change the course of my life. And I didn't really think much of it. So it was a nice reading. I didn't really get excited about it, but I forgot about it. So I go around my life, keep doing what I'm doing. And then one day, and literally, I'm not kidding you, one day, it was April 1st of the year 2000. I walk into my office. It was called Japan TV News. And my boss at the time said, Alice, we have good news and bad news. The good news is that we sold the company. The bad news is they didn't purchase your newscast. So I was doing this newscast and all these other shows, and you can go and get unemployment. And I had never been on unemployment. So I was sort of in shock. I walked to the unemployment office. It was actually down the street. And while I was filling out the forms, I had to open up my Palm Pilot to see when I actually started working there. And the pop-up came up that I had written in there 3 years ago, astrologer says like your life was going to change. And it was like the heavens opened and the angels sang. And I thought, how do you calculate someone's life? Like, how is that even possible? Because there's no hint of me changing at that time. So long story short, sorry to go on so long about it, but
no, it's okay.
I ended up going to the bookstore, which was down the street, and I bought $400 worth of astrology books. And I became fascinated with the mysteries of the universe. And I basically started with astrology, and day and night I learned about it. So that's how I got started on it, which led to much more, as you mentioned in my bio. But yes, that's how it happened. And in the beginning, I'll tell you, everybody ran away from me. Everybody was like, oh, you're so weird. Or then the people in my television industry, they thought that I had gone off the deep end. So I lost all these friends, and I wasn't, I couldn't go into social situations. But now, when I say I do astrology, people gather around. Back then, people ran away. So you're absolutely right. It has something shifted over the past 10 years or so, I would say, where now I am in demand, whereas before, nobody wanted to talk to me.
Oh my goodness. I'm laughing, but also I understand how everyone, you know, just all of a sudden, you know, becomes uncomfortable around you because you're doing something that is considered for the time being very fringe, right?
Yeah, like do I use a broomstick to get around town? Like people are gonna ask stuff like that.
Yes. Exactly. That's my sentiment as well. So, you know, just to be very transparent, you know, I think astrology is fascinating. Am I an astrologer myself? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about the zodiacs, but other than that, I really have no familiarity. So you're definitely talking to a complete amateur.
I love talking to basic. I love waking people up to this incredible discipline that is simply a language that we can translate. And when people say to me, oh, I believe in astrology, I don't believe in astrology, inside I think, well, it's not really a belief system. It simply just is. It's a pattern in the sky, like the sun and the moon. You wake up, look for the sun. At night, you see the moon. You live through phases in your life, and we can see these evolutionary sort of timetables. And no, I'm not psychically able to see the details of your future, but we can definitely understand where you're at, why you are the way you are, where you're at in life, where you're headed, where to point yourself. It's just simply guidance.
Definitely. So and you'll have to correct me here. So from my understanding, if we're wanting to dive a little bit into our lives to know ourselves a little bit more, would we first have what's called like a birth chart created?
Yes. So let me just share. So it's really actually simple. And I think when I first started learning, I got really confused by all the different people and things and disciplines and ways and jargon, but really at its most basic form, what we're looking at is the time of your birth, right? So your birthday, which we all know our birthday, the longitude and latitude, which is your city or state or country that you're in, and then the time of birth. So just imagine this, that we need three things: your birthday, birth time, birth location, and a birth chart is simply a picture of the sky at the moment you're born. And it's a two-dimensional picture. It just shows, in my case, I just see like where basically the 10 planets are with maybe some asteroids, but basically the 10 planets. And it is called a birth chart. So when you say, I am a Scorpio, or I am a Cancer, or I am a Pisces, you're talking about where the sun was, which is the true for every single person born at that day. But when we get your birth time and we get your birth location, we get all the details. We get where exactly was the moon, what exactly was on the horizon. So yes, it's a birth, and you can actually go online and just ask for a free birth chart. There are tons of places. I think even astrology.com has it. But you need those three pieces of information to get a birth chart. And that's like your thumbprint.
Oh my goodness. So wait a minute. You said that our actual zodiac sign is where the sun was?
Yeah. So when you know that, yeah. So when you say, oh, I'm a Cancer, you're looking at like magazines or newspaper, and they say, oh, July 21st to August 20th, you're a Leo. So those are basically your sun. So it's interesting. If you look to the sky, we can actually divide it into 12 segments. And many people don't know this, but astrology was first. It came before astronomy. So astronomy tells us what degrees everything is at in the sky. So all it is so the ancients would look in the sky and be able to see patterns in the sky and see patterns of how people behaved and acted. And from that, we needed to know exactly where things are. And so that's how astronomy became born. And yes, your sun sign is what you know of, but you're also, if we can get your sun, your moon and something called your rising sign. And that rising sign is something that shows up on your chart based on the time of birth. We can get so much more information. You might have noticed that some people say, oh, I'm a Leo, but I don't see myself as a Leo at all. I'm not outgoing. Well, your moon sign could be in a shy sign. Your rising sign could be in a very shy sign. So yes, you're not going to be fully Leo. So you're made up of multiple signs.
Wow. So what does your moon sign and your rising sign symbolize?
Okay. So I think if we go into real detail, they say that your sun sign is sort of like your soul. So you want to think of light. So like if you are light beamed onto earth, your sign of your sun sign is kind of like the filter. So if you've ever seen a lamp and you could put these shaped like sort of filters in front to make the light red or the light blue, that's like our sign. Our sign kind of filters our soul. So like for me personally, I'm a Cancer. So Cancers are about nurturing and caring. And so that's how I shine my light. I nurture, I care, I want to help you. The moon is our emotional nature. Like, and think about how if you've ever heard like how there's on the full moon, everyone goes crazy, they're lunatics. Yes, yes. On the full moon. So the moon governs like the water, which is our emotion. So our emotional nature is governed by the moon. So your moon sign might be in a complete different sign, which means that's why you react differently. So that's your moon. And then the ascendant, that's the rising sign. So that one is based on your exact time of birth. And that gives us a sense of how you show up in the world, like what your mask to the world is, like what clothes you wear when you're out in the world. So these three things are really a great indicator of just three different facets of who you are.
Wow, that's very, very helpful, because sometimes I've met people and they'll be very forthcoming, even just in an introduction, and they'll say, oh, I'm you know, this rising and my moon's right out here. And I'm like, I only know that I'm a Virgo.
Yeah. So do you resonate with the Virgo kind of traits? Do you resonate with the Virgo traits? Like Virgo traits are like, want to be of service, I can sometimes say detail oriented, a bit sort of picky about how you want certain things, but definitely it's an earth sign needing grounding. Do you resonate with those traits?
I do resonate with the majority. There's one trait that I think is very emblematic of a Virgo that I am the complete opposite, which is, nobody probably knows this, but I'm very disorganized.
Oh, see, interesting. Right. So that would kind of show up. Like, I mean, do you have your birth time, do you have your birth information at all?
Oh my gosh. I can't remember. I know this is embarrassing, but I can never remember my AM, PM. So like what time I was actually born.
Give me your, if you want later, you can give me your date and whatever time you think, and then I can pretty much pull your chart up and give you some insight on that. But yeah, so it depends. Like your birth time will change. Even if you're a twin and you were born maybe 10 minutes, 5 minutes different from your twin, the planets keep moving, the degrees in the sky change. And so you would actually embody different themes in your life, different elements of things.
I think that is that's very fascinating. Including like those details, the moon and rising, what else can you learn from your own birth chart?
Oh gosh, you know, so when I do a reading for someone, it's really interesting because I might not have ever met them before, right? And all I get is three pieces of information. And what it does is I have this, thank God we have computers now. I don't have to like delineate the chart like the ancients did. But in a split second, I can see a circle with a whole bunch of planetary positions. And what we can get from a birth chart is, number one, we can really describe you as who you are, both your upsides and downsides. There's no such thing as a good chart or a bad chart. We can kind of see the soul's like purpose, some of the lessons they might have. So anything from, oh, you have to deal with obstacles, or you're here to learn freedom, or you're here to learn how to be more secure. You can see all of that stuff. And then what is really awesome about it is you feel heard, you feel seen, you feel like you are who you are. Like that's why you are the way you are. You're not crazy because you're this one day and that one day. That's just who you are. Then we can take that chart and I can run some numbers, so to speak. It sounds very sophisticated, but it's just pushing a couple buttons. And then I go back in your life and I can say like, okay, 1990, did you change jobs? 1993, was it a relationship? So I can go back and track to see how you follow sort of your path in life, how you follow it. And then once I get that kind of confirmation from like, say, a stranger, they're like, oh my God, that's right on the mark. Yes, those are times that things happen. Then I'm able to do like a what's coming up kind of thing in the future. So what that does is gives me storylines of where you're at, where you're headed, what the year is like. And it's never, even if it's bad, people go, oh, I don't want to know. It's scary. It's bad. It's not. It's only just that if you're going to go through it, I can help you understand like what tools you need to get through it and when, most importantly, when you will transcend whatever it is that you're going through.
That's very, wow. I really did not know that that's how much information could be gathered. Yeah. Someone's yeah. birth chart. So when you yeah. say that you can determine like, you know, obstacles or lessons, mm-hmm. do you determine that on a, like on a yearly basis or at certain points in your life cycle?
Any moment at time. So like, have you ever noticed like in your life that certain things were really difficult for you? Maybe it was hard to say no. And then now it's somehow it's easier. Yes. You've learned that lesson, like you said yes too many times, and now you're like, no, I'm holding my boundaries. That kind of stuff shows up. And I will never know the consciousness or the evolution of that soul. And we all have different conscious levels, right? It's like I could see a chart and go, wow, you are so spiritual. But if they're a younger soul, or maybe they're at a lower level of consciousness, their spirituality might be just smoking pot all day and just being like, you know, being on drugs, so to speak, and experiencing the etheric that way. Or it could be someone who really gets in the meditation, or they could be that way younger, and then they go through some life challenges, and then they move into a more spiritual role, as we would define as being good. So there's a lot of so what I find is when someone gets their chart done, it awakens them to who they are. And I think that's what happened to me. It awakens you to who you are, why you're here. And then you somehow want to live your best self. It's just very purposeful.
Wow. That is, yes, this is definitely going to be a meaningful experience because I'm totally going to do this because I've never done this before.
Yeah, you know, I seem to find people that have not done it. I really love initiating people into understanding their chart simply because I think of it like, and I've never heard any other astrologer say this, but I think of it like a language. So I grew up, obviously I speak English now, but I grew up bilingually with Chinese and English. Then I went to Japan and then I learned how to speak Japanese. So I became trilingual. Then I learned astrology and then I learned feng shui, which is simply translating the energy of an environment. I can look at an environment and see what's going on with the person because there is a correlation. And if you've ever heard that, as above, so below, as within, so without, it's true. And so with astrology, I've come to understand that it's simply a language and I've been talking it so long now that I literally have the ability to translate it. It's simply like subject, verb, object. Where is it? What is it? Like, it's so simple, but it's so profoundly simple that it's amazing.
Wow. I love that you have defined it as a language. I've never thought of it that way
before. Yeah. It's super yeah. yeah. Like if the universe wants you to know something and you can't understand it, then it takes you longer to get it. But if I can go, oh, hey, this is kind of like what you're here to learn or it, whatever it is I see in the chart, I'm not making it up. I'm just seeing like, oh, the moon is next to the Mercury. So you're going to always have like this emotional, your heart, mind, you're going to have to learn how to find that balance between logic and emotion. And then you're like, oh, and then now whenever you have that situation, you're recognizing that you need to trust. You need to trust your intuition, for example. And not be so logic minded. So yeah, it's an awakening to me. And it's simply just understanding you. I mean, it's like the manual to you. How's that? That would be a great way to put it.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about the planets and how that fits into a chart.
Okay. So let's go real, real simple. So let's say there's 10 planets out there and there are 10 planets out there that we track and the sun and the moon, we know. So first of all, remember, we wake up and we look for the sun. We go to sleep, we look for the moon. the sun and the moon are two halves of the whole, right? The light and the dark, the internal and the external. So the sun and the moon, they guide us. Now, you go a little bit out. There's Mercury. So if you've ever heard of Mercury retrograde, I think that's even becoming mainstream now.
Yes.
So Mercury, he rules planet. He's the planet that rules communication. Every single planet has a job. Every single planet does something, means something, teaches us something. So Mercury is the planet of communication. So he's about logic. He's about anything, movement of the mind, movement of the body. He's all about movement. And so Mercury, wherever, if you're Mercury, let's pretend you were born and Mercury was right next to your sun. Well, if your sun is your soul and how you express yourself, Mercury there is going to be that you need to talk a lot. You think a lot, talk a lot, move a lot, write a lot. It could be the written word, the spoken word. You like to move. That is just naturally there. You're curious. That would be Mercury. Now let's go out a little bit more. There's Venus. So Venus is known as, if every planet rules something, Venus basically is love, beauty, value, being social, all of that. So now let's say you have Venus next to your sun. I tend to find people that have Venus next to their sun to be beautiful souls, beautiful. It could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional, and they love beautiful things. So you're going to see multiple ways that it plays out in a person's life. Then let's go out a little bit more. There's Mars. So if Mars's job, he's all about focus, initiation, pioneering new paths. He's like the testosterone. So if you have Mars next to the sun, these people are driven. They are go-getters. They pioneer new paths. They're very forward, very opposite from a Venus person. See, that's kind of how it works. And so as we go out, every planet has a job. And Pluto is about transformation and control. Uranus is about being unique and different. Saturn is about being the authority. So you just kind of understand like the players, and then you kind of, you can actually see how it all plays out in a person's chart.
Wow. That's definitely super. Wow, that is super informative. And I think, yes, it can definitely say a lot about your personality and how you overcome certain situations in your life, or how you tackle situations. I think it's incredibly rich, a lot of details.
Yeah. And I'll just say, honestly, I've been doing this since the year 2000, so about 23 years. And I'm not the kind of astrologer that's like, oh my God, where's the moon? Am I going to go to the store to buy groceries today or not? Like, it's not to me, it's not like that. Some people are very into that, and that's great because they're really into following every single movement of the planets. But I really love to see it as sort of like, oh, this is who I am. This is where I'm headed. This is what's going on this year. And even to this day, I can look at my chart and find something new that I didn't see yesterday as I awaken to new aspects of myself. So it's ever evolving. I could give you a reading like 10 years ago and give you another reading today and say completely different things that are still true and still valid for who you are.
So at the beginning of the year, you can definitely sit down and look at your chart to kind of forecast.
Anytime you do a reading, we start from today moving forward.
Ah, okay. As an example here, why else would I be looking at my astrological chart? Let's say that I wanted to, I was looking for a new job. Would I consult my chart?
Yeah, it would be helpful because think about this. You're traveling along. Imagine driving on a freeway and there's exits along the freeway. So let's say you're driving on the freeway and you're like, I'm hungry. And then you see an exit. You're like, I'm not that hungry. I think I'll take the next exit. Or you have to use the bathroom, and then there's no exit at all. And then finally there's an exit. You take that exit even if you're late. So I've created this system. The way that I do my readings is I actually create this energy calendar. So it's almost like you get to see where where you get off the freeway. So in other words, yesterday. Okay. So this woman is like, I've been in my job for like 20 some years now and I love it. Everything's great, but I'm feeling anxious. I think I need a change. So I look at her chart and I go, oh yes, you have Uranus, which is the planet of change and innovation and creativity. It's hitting this point in your chart that has to do with career. And so I could actually tell her that it peaks in September. And right now we're in May, right? Or now we're in July right now. So mm-hmm. she's like, oh, no wonder. She goes, yeah, like I was envisioning that I would be in a new job by 2024. I wanted to change jobs. And so there you go. It gives her confirmation. Now, if she were to say to me, I'm feeling this way and I'm looking at the chart and I don't see an exit, I'm not going to be like, you can't change jobs. Your astrology doesn't show it. I will just be like, you can do anything you want at any given time. You have your own choice, but it might be a little difficult. The opening, for example, is 2024. And then sure enough, that person will come back and go, you know what? My husband lost his job, so I had to stay in this job or whatever. So it's like we tend to follow the rhythm of the planets without even really knowing it. So you've been following it all along. It's just that as an astrologer, I can give you a little insight onto like what that roadmap looks like.
Oh, wow. And would this also apply to relationships?
Yeah.
Relationships and maybe even compatibility?
Yeah. So imagine you meet someone at an event, a social event, and right away you're like, oh my God, I don't like this person. They're too forward or they're pushy or just something about them, you don't like them. Then you wander to the other part and then you meet somebody and you're like, oh my God, I feel so connected to this person. I can talk to her all day and I just met her. These can be seen because in a chart, when there's a couple ways we can look at charts. So like we could put two charts together and see where you would be super compatible and where you might not be compatible. So I could be like a couples counselor, so to speak, and talk about how this is where you're connected and this is where you might have conflict. All people have conflict. All people have compatibility. Does it mean that you will be together forever? People always say like, oh, are we going to be together forever? Like, what does this mean? That I actually personally, I would never say that. I said, it's up to you. But so I've seen the most opposite charts work really hard at relationship and have a great relationship. I've seen the most easy, similar charts to not work out because they don't put time into it. So we can compare and contrast charts and see where the connecting point is and where that compatibility is for sure.
Wow. Okay. Yes. Definitely did not know that.
Oh, and yeah. And another one, you might not know this either. I can actually blend two charts. Like I can take your chart, like whoever, two people that are in relationship, doesn't matter, boss, it could be two people in love. I can put their, it's basically, it's called a composite chart. So you put the chart together and then you find the middle of the whole chart. And then the relationship itself, you kind of get a really good sense of how that relationship plays out, why you're connected, and what way do you really connect. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
And what about family? So for example, like if you did, let's say, a comparison between myself and my mom and dad, mm-hmm. Have you ever done anything similar to that?
Oh yeah. So I do, sometimes I do family. I do big family. I've even done big family readings where it's like, you kind of see like how the parents support each of the children. And you've probably seen this before where there's a family and the child, there's like, let's say family of five and two children are just really in line, kind of like with the same vibe as the parents. And then there's this one child who's like creative or is a rock star, just really different. And you're like, where's that DNA come from? Like our family is, we're all bankers. Like how could you be a musician? And it will show up in the chart. So you can kind of see even like why certain people just don't align, they do align, how your mom supported you, how your dad supported you in a different way. All of that does show up.
So how do you deal with, I'm sure when people come to you, like you said, you get people who are complete novices. How mm-hmm. do you deal with people who are very, very skeptical?
I actually welcome it. You know, I used to be really afraid of it because I wasn't confident in it. And I would just feel like I had something to prove. I think what comes from years, and I've done over 10,000 charts easily with people, I think it just comes with sort of this confidence that I really welcome skeptical people because there's some things that I can share that just can't be like disputed. And I don't just say it like, oh, I'm intuiting this about you. I actually am showing them a chart and said, you know, classic astrology with the sun in the 10th house, this means you're focused on career. I mean, it's just, there's no buts about anybody that has that signature in their chart will have these certain qualities about them. So what I find, and then nobody can dispute when I go back in their life. So that's why I do that, sort of to get a buy-in, also to understand if their birth time is correct, number one, and where they are. But yeah, when skeptical people come, I am actually welcome it so much more than I used to because I love just sharing that there's something else to under, and you don't have to buy into it. You don't have to ever do your astrology reading, but just to understand there is some divine synchronicities and there is divine order.
And how often do you personally consult your own astrological?
So what I do is, it, like you were asking about the yearly thing or whatever, it's just, we live by the Gregorian calendar. So it's really easy. We start a new year in January. So in January, I do my whole year and I just put it up on my little bulletin board. And I just kind of know, I just know to look when I look. Sometimes I don't look, I could not look for months, but I kind of know the themes in my head that, like, for example, I reached my 10th anniversary today for happy, or not today, this in September for Happiness You. And I noticed that there was a lot of changes around July. But in January, I didn't know what those were, but now I know what they are. And so now I know I need to take action on it this month. So it just kind of gives confirmation. Oh, I have a big one. I'll tell you, this is huge. This is really, really, really huge. So I am just a small person here in Hawaii, just doing my astrology. And I do a lot of corporate training and try to bring sort of positive mindset principles into the environment. So I'm just in this little tiny island. So I saw in my chart that I was going to be going to be big in my career. So that's, I get that because Jupiter is like a Santa Claus planet. And when Jupiter hits your career, there is like promotions, expansion, sort of moving up. So we all go through these, but this one was a pretty rare Jupiter transit and it was peaking around May, June of 2023. So I kind of saw that. So I set the intention in my head, which we do. It's just like, you know what? I would love for my, I created a psychometric assessment. So, you know, you take a quiz and it tells you about yourself. It's based on my astrology, but I've moved it into team building. And it's like, you take this assessment, you find out your superpowers. And anyway, I thought it would be great if it moved outside the borders of Hawaii. Like maybe I did some mainland companies. Well, Jupiter is such a big planet and so powerful. I just came back from spending 2 weeks at McDonald's global headquarters working with the top of this, the largest food brand in the world, and having them learn all my superpowers based on the five elements of Chinese traditional medicine. And so that's how it works. I knew my career was going to peak, but I didn't know what it was going to be. And now I'm like, wow, Jupiter is amazing. So when I see Jupiter, I know I can think big.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's unbelievable because that kind of a company, you don't even just get in, but it was like a person told a person told a person told a person. Somehow they heard about my system. They called me and I even said no, because I don't feel comfortable working with like these people, these C-level, high level people. Plus it's so corporate and I'm an astrologer and I do spiritual stuff. Like that doesn't resonate. But they actually said, no, we want your system. We will help you get the outcomes we need. And guess what? This is the best part. They were so into astrology. They thought this is like everything since sliced cake. So I was doing like the highest level officers there. They were doing astrology readings. So like you said in the beginning, people are open to it. I think people's consciousness is awakening like crazy right now.
I am in complete agreement. I think that's fantastic that they're that open-minded. So does this mean that you are personally working with other corporations or businesses to help them?
Unbelievable.
Direction?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's so crazy. So I've been doing astrology sessions for their directors and VPs and all these different people that are interested in knowing more about themselves and their path. And nobody thinks it's weird. You know, that's the weirdest thing. People are like, wow, this is so amazing. Not like, wow. Because normally I would never, in my corporate world that I work in, I don't bring in the astrology and spirituality. If they see it on the website, they see it. But I lead with a different bio on that, in that sort of realm of a work that I do, just because usually it's not accepted. Now it's almost like a bonus.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. It makes sense. But yes, that definitely says a lot to me that even people in these massive like corporations at the C-suite level are open to, you know, listening and learning about astrology and applying it in their everyday life.
Yeah. And so It's neither here nor there, but I would just say 5 years ago, that I don't, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I think I would have been, they would see, looked at my, because they had to do research right before they brought me over. I literally lived in that environment at their big global headquarters. They would see astrology, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, right? I mean, I don't even have like a degree. Like, I based my superpower assessment on the five elements, because there's elements in astrology, there's elements. So what I did is I personified these elements and made it so people could understand themselves better based on all my years of astrology. And it has the whole astrology underlying elemental thing. But somehow they just felt it was time to do something different with their new reorganization that we saw in the news in April. And I'm just so grateful that I had this opportunity to bring sort of spiritual work in a corporate form to them. And they were so receptive. Everyone, I worked with 300 of these global leaders, and every single one of them said, wow, this was really neat. I felt heard.
Wow. I love that. I just, why do you personally think that people have become so open-minded to and receptive to what was definitely on the fringes, right, for a very long time? Why do you think they've become so receptive to astrology?
Well, I'm just going to go to astrology. So what you and I have been talking about is personal astrology, right, where I learn about you. There's also another type of astrology. There's so many types of astrology, but one is called mundane astrology. And mundane astrology looks at the astrology that impacts nations, it impacts countries, it impacts the world. And so if you think about it right now, you and I are sitting here on a spinning planet, and planets are out there orbiting. So there are outer planets, like I told you about Mercury and Mars and Venus. Those are personal planets, but there's out there what we call collective planets, and collective planets affect the collective. So every year in January, I do this huge, huge for me, because it takes me a lot of time, but I do this thing where I predict what's going to happen for the year collectively. And I have been talking, I've been doing that for like 15, 16 years now. We do it online now, but anyway, I've been able to kind of see what the themes are for the upcoming years and give people a heads up, like what we're going to see collectively. So the planet Saturn, so it's been happening for a long time. Have you heard of, remember that song, The Age of Aquarius?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll talk about it. The lyrics make actually no sense in astrology language. But anyway, the Age of Aquarius is all about awakening, right? And think it's similar to what you're doing in your podcast, the intuitive awakening. This has been a long time thing that's happening, and it's starting to, I'll just use the word peak now as we speak. So multiple planets are actually moving into new areas of the sky, which say we have to shed the old and rebirth into the new. But most recently, what we're going to see over the next 2.5 years, so around March of this year, March 8th of this year, the planet Saturn, which has to do with the authority, with structure, with like how things used to be, like the authority, it has moved into the area of the sky that is the sliver of Pisces. And Pisces is known for spirituality and a little bit more esoteric stuff. But anyway, what I predicted that to be was that corporations, which is ruled by Saturn, people that are more discerning, ruled by Saturn, are going to be a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more opening, so open. So spirituality will get more of an authority. So, and I'm seeing it. I saw it when I went to McDonald's. So that's one. And then also Pluto. This is a big deal, the biggest deal ever. And the planet Pluto is the furthest planet out there. Like if you remember back in high school, Pluto's out there, little tiny guy out there. Yeah. He moves so slowly that when he does change areas in the sky, in other words, change signs, he starts to really make impact. So just to be more specific, if this is of interest, Pluto has been in the constellation of Capricorn, in the sign of Capricorn for the past 20 years. So since 2008 until now, and now he's kind of in and out, moving into Aquarius. So Capricorn is all about structures, things that are not working have to be let go of, because Pluto's about the planet of transformation. Aquarius is all about the new, the different. Aquarius rules astrology. every sign rules something. Astrology is ruled by Aquarius. So this whole rebirth, letting go of the old, birthing into the new, you're set up in a perfect situation right now with your podcast, offering these types of things to people that are waking up.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's fascinating to me.
It is incredibly fascinating. It's funny that you already answered this because I was going to ask you what you saw on the chart for, you know, this year.
Yeah.
Maybe just to make sure I understand this correctly. Yes. So if I wanted to understand like what was happening, just, you know, what could happen in the United States alone, as opposed to what's happening over in India,
yeah.
Can that be isolated?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. So United States has a birth chart, just like how you were born at a certain time. So what we look at is July 4th, 1776, 5:10 PM in, I guess, Washington, D.C., wherever that Declaration of Independence was signed. And that becomes a U.S. birth chart. So there are people that specialize, astrologists specialize in the U.S. birth chart. Right now, in the U.S. birth chart, we in the U.S. are going through something called the Pluto return. And what that means is Pluto has made a full revolution around and is back to where it was when US was born. And Pluto rules death and rebirth, destruction of the old, rebirth into the new. This Pluto return has been happening all of 2022, all of 2023. So if we look into some of the things that we see in politics in the world today, just all of that turmoil, everything that we're seeing is all part of this. So the goal for a Pluto return is to shed the old and come out anew. It also matches that what I just talked about, Pluto going into Aquarius, all new. So we are going through some shakeups and shakedowns. And yeah, I actually covered it all in my astrological forecast this year, that we're going to see something really, you know, as we enter 2024, life is shifting a lot from where it used to be.
Wow. This is just, you know, people are probably listening like, we already know this. I didn't know this. This is like blowing my mind. I think it's just amazing.
Love it. Yeah. I love to make it simple to understand, because when I first learned astrology, I went to all the astrologers in town and I couldn't really understand what they're saying. And they made me feel fearful, or I felt like stupid and I couldn't figure it out. So I just thought, you know what? The only way it's going to work is if it works for us and we can translate it into our lives. And so I've been, no matter how many things I do, I will always find such intrigue with astrology, because everything's changing by the minute. And there's so many facets to look at.
Yes. And there's something else that you mentioned about there being elements in astrology. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. That's really good. So for example, you're a Virgo, that's an earth sign. So there are 12 signs, right? We know there's 12 signs, starting at Aries, ending with Pisces, and three of them are water, three of them are fire, three of them are earth, and three of them are air. And elements really, if you know the element, you can kind of understand it. So let's just go with let's start with fire. So the fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. So if you look at the element of fire, fire just goes, it's bright, it's shiny, it's spontaneous. Those signs tend to be that way. So it's an elemental thing. So if fire signs are more bold, more extroverted, if you just think about the element of fire. Then the next thing is earth. So the earth signs are Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. So earth signs, they need more grounding. They want things tangible. They're not going to jump off a cliff. They're just a little bit more, need more security. This is this more serious, or let's say just more grounded signs, because it's earth. Then we go to air, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius, air signs. Think about air, more communication, more talking, more socialization, more creativity, all the things that have to do with air. And then finally, there's water, Cancer, the sign of Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Water signs, earth signs, a little more introverted. Water, more intuitive. So you, knowing that your podcast name is Intuitive Awakening, so you would probably, if we did your chart, you would have a lot, I guarantee you'd have some water in there, you'd have some Neptune in there, they'd have some Pisces in there, because that really does resonate more with spirituality. So people that have more water tend to be more open to spirituality or the unseen or things that are intuitive.
Oh my goodness. I feel like there's so much ground to cover and there's so much to learn. I definitely understand why it takes a long time to learn as well.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's never ending, right? You just keep learning, but it's at its most basic form, it's quite easy to learn if you don't come in with the mindset like, oh my God, it's so confusing, all these numbers. If you just come in, go, okay, there's planets. What do the planets represent? I went over that with you a little bit. There's signs. What are the tendencies for their signs? Then there's location. Where are the tendencies for that? And then you just put it together and you keep talking it and it will continue. You can't get it wrong from the basic to the complex. So if you start basic, you can get lots of information.
So I was wondering whether or not eclipses at all factor into this.
Yeah. So you've probably heard, so we touched upon full moons, right? Where there've actually been studies done where they looked at the police files in two different counties of during full moons and new moons, if there were more phone calls. And yes, they were. There's more complaints and more emotional outbursts. So eclipses happen every so often. They're not as common as a monthly full moon eclipses. And there's a certain time called eclipse season where we tend to see more. So eclipses are like supercharged full moons. And the way that I think about it is when you see or hear an eclipse is coming, think of it like a reboot. So you know how your computer, sometimes it slows down a little bit and then you're just sort of like just sticky. Then you reboot it and all of a sudden everything kind of works better. Mm-hmm. I think of eclipses like that. Eclipses sort of, it's like a moment of darkness where when the light comes back, we start to see things that we've been doing or not doing. And things tend to happen around eclipses or within 3 months of eclipses if you need to turn and change direction. But mostly you can actually, see, so you might not know this, like if your chart is like that thumbprint and it's set, it never changes, we can see where in your chart that eclipse is happening. And then we would be able to see if it's going to really impact you or not so much. That's why you might have noticed certain eclipses. Well, if you track eclipses, you would notice some eclipses really affect you, others don't.
Oh, okay. Wow. Definitely. Like I said.
Yeah.
So many layers to unpack. And then I'm not sure if this makes a difference or not, but, throughout the year we have, different types of, I'm assuming there are different types of full moons, like a strawberry moon, harvest moon, things like of that nature. Does, you know, depending on, I guess, the type of full moon, does that impact your chart at all? It doesn't matter.
You know, I'll just honestly, I haven't tracked that and I don't think it's that important. I think mostly what's important is the position of the sun or the moon as it relates to your chart. So yeah, I've seen that, like the blood red moon or the. And so I think those are based on astronomical things where it reflects a certain part of the sky. So it looks more this or it looks more that. But when it comes to astrology, it would just really be like, okay, where does that fall in your chart? And again, the full moons and the new moons, they happen so often. Every month we have a new moon, every month we have a full moon. So they're not as impactful as these cycles that happen like every so many years or every so many dozens of years. Those are the ones that are life-changing. So if you've ever heard of the 7 years, have you heard of the 7 year itch?
Yes, I have.
So Saturn is, it's this, the planet Saturn. Imagine that Saturn takes 28 years to go around, to make one orbit. So every 7 years, Saturn is at a 90 degree angle to itself. I don't know if this is too confusing, but every 7 years, Saturn is all about structure. So every 7 years, we need to change structures. So think about children. Do you have any children at all?
I do not.
I don't either. But if you think about children, at seven, they change. 14, 21, 28. At 28 years, it's something called the Saturn return. All people go through their Saturn return at 28. They get married, they get divorced, they have a child, they buy a house, they take on more responsibility. Saturn shifts responsibilities. We step up to the plate with Saturn so we can go further. 28, 35, 42, right? These are all cycles. So we can look at general cycles, how people change. And Saturn is a planet that basically we see a change 7 years. So in other words, we're talking about sun and moon. They're just not as powerful as these longer term cycles that happen.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's definitely helpful. So what do you feel like are some of the biggest takeaways that you've learned from, you know, studying astrology and doing charts for so long?
That is such a great question. I think it's this. I have been really privy to following people's lives for many years now, and I couldn't have said this earlier, but I can actually say this at this age, having gone through so many people. I have gone through people who have had spouses die, tragedies happen, and then being able to follow these lives. And I think the biggest takeaway is, no matter where you are, no matter what is happening, there's always a gift that will come from it, as challenging as it is, and it will end. And life is not here to make things hard for you. It's here for you to grow from. So I think what it's helped me to do is, even going through very challenging times in my life, knowing that it's just simply timing, that it will end, and there truly is divine order, because you will look back on these most challenging times and be grateful, because had you not gone through it, you would not have gotten what you needed to get through the next thing. So I guess what I found is that it gives me a sense of safety living in this world. As chaotic as it may seem, it's not. Everything truly is in divine order.
That is so beautiful. And I really appreciate that message also on a personal level. Alice, it has been fantastic having you on, and it is clear that you really know what you're talking about. Definitely, with all your years of study and practice. And so I really appreciate the thoroughness of your responses and taking the time to give it to me in an elementary fashion, which is super helpful on my end. And if anyone wants to connect to you, I know you have multiple books out there. And if they wanted to get like a chart reading, how can they find you?
You know what I would say is, just go to my website. Maybe I can give that to you when you post the podcast. And yes, I'm more than happy. It may say on my website, or it does say like not taking new people, but I do. If you really want a reading, I will give you a reading. So yeah, just get to my website and just see what we have to offer. And there's just so many things that I do, but astrology is something that I deeply, deeply love doing, because I love just helping people understand who they are, where they've been, and where they're going, most importantly, and to give that sense of sort of peace about their life, even though it doesn't feel peaceful. So yes, Dina, it was really great. I was so happy when I saw that you were open to having me on and said you really wanted to understand astrology. I thought, oh my God, this is something I love so much, that I'm so happy that you actually asked me these kinds of questions.
Well, I'm glad that you also accepted. I'm so happy that you were on here, and this was a wonderful conversation. And again, thank you so much for being here, and I hope that we get to connect again soon.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.